this is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. And now I get to turn to somebody who, well, he's a Florida guy, Carlton Ward. Hi, Carlton.
Hey, Patsy, how are you?
Okay, well.
How are you today?
I'm here in Clearwater, Florida. I don't know where you are, somewhere in Florida?
I'm across the bay in Tampa. You're in my native land. I grew up in Clearwater.
My goodness, why didn't you come across the causeway? You could be here.
Could have done this in real life.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. Oh, they should have told me. Because I would love to meet you here. And the name of your book is Path of the Panther, New Hope for Wild Florida. So, I mean, this is just a perfect book for us.
I hope so. This is a Florida story that I think can resonate in other states and other countries, but this is about our state animal, Florida panther, and what it means and what it needs for the protection of wild Florida.
Well, I think most people wouldn't know that the panther is the state animal of Florida. They're all thinking about alligators, but the panther is really a fantastic animal, and here in the state of Florida, it's very special.
Absolutely. This is it's a story of hope, because, you know, the panther, for people who aren't picturing it, it's a tawny brown-colored animal, kind of the color of a white-tailed deer. It's a cousin to the mountain lion and the cougar from out west. They're all pumas, but it's the last puma and the last big cat surviving east of the Mississippi River. Back in the 1960s, it was discovered that we still had panthers surviving down in the Everglades. And it's because these swamplands were so wild and inhospitable that panthers survived and persevered the persecution and habitat loss that wiped them out of existence everywhere else east of the Mississippi River. So now Florida is home to this amazing comeback story, where through conservation efforts, through the Endangered Species Act from the 1970s, panthers have recovered to nearly 200, and now they're perched on the brink of recovery if we can protect enough land for them to move back to historic territory elsewhere in the state.
When you say historical territory, where? North of where?
Well, 200 years ago, there were panthers all over the Florida Peninsula, as well as Georgia and Alabama and the Carolinas. And so for the past 50 years, the breeding population where the females live has been from Fort Myers and south, below the Caloosahatchee River. And one of the main characters of this book, and the main characters of also a new film called Path of the Panther that just came out through National Geographic on Disney Plus and on Hulu, is a female panther who is the first documented north of the Caloosahatchee River since 1973. Scientists discovered her with their trail cameras and with a track back in November of 2016, and allowed me to set up my professional camera traps nearby and get photographs of this beautiful and inspiring female panther who had swum that river to set up a new territory in the northern Everglades for the first time in nearly 50 years.
Well, when we're talking about setting up cameras, you spend a lot of time in the Everglades being very quiet and waiting to see a panther.
I've done my share of that. And I've also recognized that no matter how long I wait there, I'm never going to see a panther often enough to get the pictures needed for this book or for the National Geographic Magazine story or for the film. And so what I did was work with a tool called the camera trap. I made these custom studios with a professional camera and a waterproof box firing multiple flashes connected with an infrared trigger. You put it on the trail and try to predict where a panther may come through. And when it does, it trips the infrared beam and takes its own picture. That's the technique that provided most of the panther pictures you will see in the book. Some of those pictures took 2 years of effort in one spot. There are a few that took 5 years of camera trapping a single trail to get that picture that you see in the book.
Wow. For panthers, what's their life like down there? I've only been to the Everglades once. I didn't go deep into the Everglades. If it's deep into the Everglades, are they fairly safe that there aren't people out there? Certainly not allowed to hunt any panthers.
You know, I can only speculate what it's like to be a Florida panther, but there is still a lot of open space for them. There's big public lands in the southern part of Florida. There's 4 million acres of contiguous public land around Everglades National Park and the lands to the north. And panthers do well there. They do very well on cattle ranches and citrus groves and timberlands. And so, you know, there's space for panthers, and they can also coexist with people. There are panthers on the eastern edge of Naples who are, you know, in and near the subdivisions of Golden Gate Estates and other areas. And you do get conflicts with people. They'll eat hobby livestock or pets sometimes in people's backyards if they're left unprotected, which creates conflict. But there's also a huge opportunity for coexistence, because what a panther needs is enough habitat where they can find some deep woods to have a den, and they need food to eat. And their preferred food is the white-tailed deer, but they'll eat feral hogs and raccoons and all kinds of wildlife. But they, as long as there is habitat and space and food, the panther can survive and it can recover. And that can happen not just in southern Florida, but it can be up in central Florida, Ocala National Forest, the pine woods of North Florida and the Florida Panhandle, the Appalachian Mountains. Panthers would do fine returning to all those places where they used to live if we give them a path and if we decide we can coexist.
And that's a big decision. Not everybody is welcome to the idea. I mean, I think that exactly as you say, we can coexist. I come from northern Michigan. We step outside of our door and we could have a bear. We have certainly mountain lions up there. And we coexist, and rarely do we have any problems. It's funny, I live right here in Clearwater. One evening I came out to the underground garage, and I looked over and I saw what first looked like a dog, and I realized it's not a dog, because we don't have dogs running around here without leashes, and it was a coyote, and it was right in my parking lot.
That's amazing. Yeah, coyotes are remarkably adept at surviving in urban spaces. Panthers need a little bit more land and a little bit more wild space. But you're right. It's all about coexistence. And we in Florida have accepted that alligators are among us. And we could accept that panthers are among us too. But really, the best thing we can do is continue protecting the Florida Wildlife Corridor. And that means helping farmers and ranchers who own big tracts of land who don't want to develop them to have financial resources to keep farming and ranching through conservation easements and other solutions. And by doing that, we will protect enough wide open green space that keeps panthers further from people. And that will be good for panthers and good for us. Of course, there'll be development and potential conflict along the edges, but the more of the Florida Wildlife Corridor we can protect is big, wide, connected green space, the better it's going to be for everybody.
Absolutely. Now, panthers don't have any sort of enemies, other animals that prey on them, do they? How about the boa constrictor down there in the Everglades?
The pythons in the Everglades.
Oh, pythons, yeah.
Haven't had any documented conflict with the panther itself. I think that it is possible that a python could eat a panther kitten if the den is left unattended. I think an adult panther would eat a python if they came across each other. There is a connection there, and the pythons are decimating the small mammal population, so far fewer raccoons and other fur-bearing animals that the panthers need for their food. Fortunately, however, the pythons have been primarily in the wet areas of Everglades National Park and the River of Grass and those wetter southern spots. And the panther prefers the uplands where it can find them. And so there's not a direct overlap with their territories right now.
Well, I think I've seen some pictures of you walking in the Everglades. Do the pythons worry you?
I've never really encountered a python. I do carry a knife typically just in case. But no, I mean, the most dangerous thing I do or have done in all this work is drive my car to get to these places. Because once you're out in the wilderness, you're being vigilant. You're traveling with another person. You're using a walking stick when you're walking through waist-deep water. So there's an alligator down there. It knows you're coming before you step right into it. And, you know, we haven't had any real problems. So I think there's a fear of the unknown that goes along with these places. But once you spend as much time in them as I have, you fall in love with them and realize that they're these amazing sanctuaries for wildlife and people who adventurous and go visit them.
I've seen some photos of you in the Everglades, and you're always smiling, so you look so happy.
Yeah, some of my best times are when I'm standing waist deep in water. It's a privilege to be connected to these wild places and to then be able to be a voice for their protection through my photography, through the storytelling, through the partnerships with the many organizations that fight for their protection. That's what it's all about.
Of course, you started this whole conservation of the panthers. I think you started an organization a while back. And, of course, National Geographic is fantastic. For over 100 years that they've been doing in conservation, we owe so much, I think, to National Geographic, because Nat Geo has always been there talking about the importance of protecting the land and protecting animals.
That's absolutely right. I'm very thankful to be a National Geographic explorer and photographer and to be able to wield that brand, because when we brought the Florida Wildlife Corridor story to Tallahassee through the story of the Florida panther, lawmakers paid attention, and it's because it was in National Geographic magazine, and it's a rare unifying brand this day and age. It's a brand and a story that brings people together around issues, and I'm very proud to be with National Geographic. I'm also very thankful to be with my own team here in Florida, WildPath. We're an organization like National Geographic that uses storytelling to advocate for conservation, and WildPath helped create the Path of the Panther Project with National Geographic and other local partners that helped share this story, not just with public audiences, but with the lawmakers who ultimately are making the decisions to protect these places.
Of all the jobs in the world, working for Nat Geo is not just a job, it is a joy.
Yes. Doesn't mean it's an easy joy, because it took me 5 years to get the pictures for my National Geographic magazine story and for this book. But to have that stage now, I couldn't be more excited that the Path of the Panther film is published and released on Nat Geo and Disney Plus and Hulu. And I couldn't be more excited that the Path of the Panther book is produced and published by National Geographic Books. So it's a great pride, and it's a great opportunity to share these stories with people all around the world.
Well, you've done a wonderful job with this. People will enjoy it. It's a great book. Father's Day is coming up. I hope that people will get it and give it as a Father's Day gift, because a Nat Geo book is always the perfect gift to give for any holiday, and particularly for Father's Day. This is one that I know fathers will love, and they will share with their families. Then we can all hope that we will have more than 200. What's your hope for the next few years? Do you think we'll have a nice increase in numbers?
It's going to be slow, but my hope is that panthers will continue moving further north in the state of Florida, into the northern Everglades, into the pine woods of central Florida and North Florida, and help reclaim that historic homeland, and that people will coexist and welcome them to do so. I hope that the book raises that profile, and I hope that people will connect with the story. Our organization has pathofthepanther.com, which is a great place to learn more about the book and the film, and also to take action and add your voice to support these causes.
Okay, so do a PSA for me, and I will play it here on Joy on Paper, because Carlton Ward Jr., I think this book is fantastic. It's called Path of the Panther, New Hope for Wild Florida. It's available online, and of course, you can go directly to National Geographic Books. It's a wonderful, wonderful website, and then everybody look for the film. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm sure it's fantastic and inspiring. And what you've done with this whole thing of protecting animals, and particularly protecting the panther, which is a beautiful, beautiful animal, I just want to applaud you, because you've done a wonderful job.
Thank you, Patsy. Thanks for sharing the story. Let me know what you think about the film once you see it on Disney Plus or Hulu.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
And then one day, perhaps you'd like to come here to the studio. You let me know, and you can come here, and we can talk more, okay?
That sounds really good. Yeah, we're neighbors, and we'll keep telling the story. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye now. Bye. Wow, that's a great story. Wow. Yeah, you know, we can. My sister-in-law, she always opens the door in the morning and she says, "What animal am I going to see?" And she's always hoping for deer, although she has opened the back door and screen door, and there's a bear sitting there. Bye-bye now.